Praise God. Yes. Praise God. This is Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm taking Pastor Marcia's place today. She is moving. Yeah, you can see Connie shaking her head.
Oh, boy.
We're hoping this is the last move for a while.
Kidding.
Praise God. But we're real happy to be here. I'm joined today by Connie Farmer and Nan Watson. Hey, ladies.
Always, hello.
Nan. Always wonderful to be on the radio. I just love this. So I just want to welcome everybody who's out there listening. Like I said before, we are from Beacon of Hope Ministries and interdenominational affirming spirit-filled ministry. We meet at 3700 Olmerton in Clearwater. You can't miss us. If you like good food, there's plenty of restaurants around, so just look for the Five Guys and the Papa John's. We're right behind there. We have services. And do we have services? We have service Sunday service at 10 a.m. in the morning. We also have prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesday evenings, followed by Bible study at 7 o'clock. And it was quite an experience this morning. I got to preach, and which I like doing, although Ray said I should have gone longer.
I'm surprised you quit so soon.
I know. I run out of steam after a while, unlike Pastor. So, but it was great. It was great. It's always good. I love to preach. I love to teach. So anytime I get a chance to do that, I'm real happy.
And you did a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful job. You did really good. You brought all the practical things out of the Bible and related them to things, you know, equated them to, I'm not saying it right, but equated them to other, interjecting other type of things, now life. And I tell you what.
No.
Poor Nan's you should not have any trouble talking.
I know, poor Nan's a little tongue-tied this afternoon.
A little tongue-tied. Who'll get better?
You need some rock star? I got a little extra here.
Well, I'll take some.
But it's always good. It's always really good to be here just sharing the word. I appreciate what you said, Nan, about, because Pastor's very practical. Pastor Marcia is very practical when she preaches. She brings it down to street level, life level, and I tend to teach more
cerebral.
Thank you, Connie. Yeah, seriously, cerebral, doctrinal sort of things. I'm real, that's kind of my forte. So this was stepping into different water for me this morning, which maybe that's
why. Well, you've been wading in water deep. Last few weeks.
I know.
Didn't surprise me.
No, I appreciate that coming from you, Connie. Believe me. So we talked this morning about David and Goliath and just some things the Lord had shown me about that big old uncircumcised Philistine and kind of related that to our daily lives and how that affects us, how it's actually affected the church as a whole. And you know, it's different. It's kind of a different view of it, because I know we always hear the story about David and Goliath and how he killed Goliath. But there's so much more. If you dig in, you know, and you know me, that's what I love to do. Mm-hmm. If you dig into the scripture, then there's so much there. And, just a hint, if anybody's coming on Wednesday nights to Bible study, please read Psalms 25 through 72. We are studying the Psalms.
There will be a test this
There
week.
Will be a test, I'm sure. I'm sure Pastor Marcia's readying a test.
No doubt.
But we went through some of the Psalms last week, too.
Mm-hmm. And that was good.
It was really good. We didn't, you know, everybody was picking out their favorite verses from each Psalm. And surprising, I mean, well, maybe not surprising, a lot of us had the same mm-hmm. verses that they all, you know, that meant so much to us. And I think that's, we'll probably see that happen again on this Wednesday night. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it was really neat doing that because, as we're going through, like you said, somebody else has similar verses. So if we didn't, we're marking up. It's like we had this markathon, if you will. Mm-hmm. And every, you know, the majority of people were marking verses, you know, which we're encouraged to do, you know, write in our Bible, make little notes and things like that. So we're marking verses. Now look at your yeah. color coded.
Well, you're just writing the Bible, are you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You can do that and make it become realty. just for radio listening folks, Pastor Jim's is color coded. Mm-hmm. He has his color code, which is pretty cool. But
what do the colors mean, though?
He could tell. Well, he has a chart that shows what they all mean. Oh, okay.
I left my chart at home.
You left the chart. Okay. Anyway, but so it was kind of neat to be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. and yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what's helped me through the years is making. I mean, if a verse stands out to me, make a little notation on the side. That's why I love wide margin Bibles because it gives me a chance to write along the side mm-hmm. and at the bottom and. You know, that's just been really helpful for me. So, well, we want to go to our first song, Let Me Rediscover You. I have to thank Connie for putting this on here. It's one of my favorite songs.
You.
Thank you. It's one of my favorites. Let Me Rediscover You by Down Here.
Your spirit hovers over my waters. Your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder. Your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part of what you've done. So let me
such a great song. And you know, I was listening to the lyrics again, really just really paying attention, and it's like You know, I've been saved now about 39 years, and yet this song, it's, you know, I could see somebody who's one day old in Jesus, mm-hmm. like, in, I mean, hearing this song and singing it from their heart, somebody who's 5 years, somebody who's nearly 40 years mm-hmm. into this, you know, and we need that. And that's kind of the theme, you know, from this morning about David was, you know, David trusted God. He knew God. Mm-hmm. And that offended some other people, like his brothers. Yeah, they weren't happy with him at all. You know, they called him names and belittled his occupation, and they just weren't happy with him because he kind of spiritually showed them up, you know? And mm-hmm. that's not easy sometimes. I know I mentioned it this morning. You know, we all have those times. Somebody new comes into church, and it's like, you know, ooh, they're just so Christian, and I'm jealous of them, you know. You know, that happens because we're human. But, you know, God has said we need to be flexible. We need to bring him out of that box we tend to keep him in. Have you ever put God in a box, Nan?
Oh, yes.
And how?
If you let him out.
Did I let him out?
Yeah, that's a more important question.
Sister Connie, yes, I have let him out. Perhaps based on the denomination from which I came.
Perhaps.
there were just certain ways that you do certain things. And, you know, like, well, kind of like what you said this morning, you know, you come in, you sing your fast songs, you sing your slow songs, you take an offering, you preach, have altar call, you go home. And sometimes, you know, God likes to mix that up a little bit.
No.
Shake it up.
Shake it. I love that song. And, you know, and there's times at Beacon that happened, you know, and, you know, so yes, I have. Because
did you say sometimes?
So, well, this is going to be great radio.
Ah, yes, the interplay between the two of you.
Yeah.
Maybe Pastor's listening. She'll be freaking out. Oh, Lord, what did I do?
Whoops, yep. But yes, I have. And I think sometimes you get caught up in doing that. You don't realize you're doing it.
Right. Well, because we tend to put on our little doctrinal blinders. That's a biggie for me, you know.
Right.
When I first got saved, I thought I had all the answers. Imagine that. You know, I thought I pretty much had my doctrine down pat, and then along came a friend of mine who invited me over to his Assembly of God church, and it was like, wow, these people are talking in tongues. What's that mm-hmm. all about? Because that wasn't in, you know, that was kind of moving me out of my little safe box there. And then later on, you know, I became charismatic, filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Yes, people, I do speak in tongues. And then I was challenged on some of my other beliefs, and it made me, you know, I had to dig in the Word because, you know, I tended to dig in my heels if somebody challenged, mm-hmm. you know, something. Imagine
you?
That. I know. Shock runs through the crowd. But yeah, And I was, you know, this morning, actually, I was probably preaching as much to myself as to anybody else, because I tend to be an old wineskin sometimes, all, you know, dried up and not flexible. And I think one of the reasons we do this is maybe to keep God safe. You know, if we can put God in a box, then God is safe.
You mean we're safe?
Well, we're safe, yeah. And our picture of God is, okay, he can... You know, we keep him under control. Well, yeah, like, that's mm-hmm. going to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Connie has some ideas about this.
How's that working out?
Yeah. Yeah. How's that keeping God in the box working for you?
Mm-hmm. He just seeps out.
Yeah,
the cracks.
Seeps out through the cracks. Sometimes sometimes God explodes out of mm-hmm. that box. He'll do something and really rock your world. And, you know, I think that's... Sometimes I think that's really good. Sometimes I think our worlds need rocked mm-hmm. because we get complacent mm-hmm. sometimes.
Comfortable is not a good place to be.
No, that's
I mean, it feels good for the moment, but it's not exactly where you want to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Because once you get comfortable, I think of settling into a chair, big old lazy boy, and reclining back and getting all comfortable, well, then you just get kind of drowsy. And I saw that look.
Connie's looking at me for those who can't see what's
going on. Yeah.
Sleep issue.
But you get drowsy, and, and spiritually you get drowsy. You just sort of start getting lazy.
Laxy.
You get lax in your walk. And then that's when God has to maybe burn up that lazy boy or
put some sparks in it.
Put some sparks in it, right. Well, and it's like I mentioned this morning, for me, a big challenge was, that was my music.
Mm.
Nathan, if you're listening, I love you. But that was
Aaron
a big challenge.
Aaron,
too. It was hard for me to give up my canned music because I used to put everything on a CD, and that's how we did worship service. We did it off of a CD.
Karaoke.
Yeah, basically it was Christian karaoke. And those first couple of weeks were kind of difficult for me after, when we started having a real praise band, real live music, because that was God knocking me out of my box. I mean, I love that ministry, and if need be, we pray God will never have to go back to that. Mm-hmm. But it got us, and it served its purpose, but it was time to move on.
Well, that moving on brought more growth in your life. You're part of that praise and worship group. You're not just doing the music and leading. You're a vital part of that praise and worship group. So he kind of did the little box thing there, but it was kind of like promotion for you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, this morning, since I was preaching, I didn't practice with the praise band. And two things, I missed that practice terribly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just missed being up there. And that's why when we got together to pray, I said, we are a unit, because I could feel me missing up there, and I could sense that part of it missing. And which I think that's fantastic. Not in a gloaty sort of way, but it's just, we are such a group, a team now. We're kind of exemplifying the body of Christ in a smaller way. If one of us is gone, we feel it. We know it. And like Madeline was gone, we, missed those drums sorely.
Yeah,
oof.
I told her, she was at Pastor's, and I said, oh, girl, did we miss you today or what? It was just, not just the drums. I love listening to Madeline laugh. Mm-hmm. She has the most infectious laugh. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and it's that kind of that team. Mm-hmm. And Nana's a part of the team because Nan helps to run our slides.
Nan gets to be a part of all the teams. Don't you, Nan?
Nan's willing.
Nan is very willing. Which is a good thing, Nan. We definitely need that. So, but it's something, that we need to be able to let God move us out of our boxes. Because otherwise, what's going to happen? What happens to, in Jesus' example, he talked about the wineskin. What happens when you put new wine in an old wineskin?
It bursts.
It's going to burst, and you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose the wine. You're going to lose the wineskin. It's the same thing. He uses the example of sewing a new cloth patch on an old piece of clothing. Mm-hmm. You wash it, and you dry it, and it's ruined. It's going to be ruined. So the whole point there was, be flexible. Move in what God wants you to move into, which is what David did in 1 Samuel 17. I love the fact that David was prepared to meet Goliath even before he knew Goliath was there. That's pretty amazing, because he was ready. He didn't know Goliath was there. He had no idea. His father just said, here, take this food out to your brothers. So he goes up there, and our old Goliath gets up there and starts taunting, the army again. And, David says, and I think he spoke out of, I really believe David spoke out of faith. what's gonna happen to the man who kills the giant? You know, and the people around said, well, okay, you're gonna get king's daughter, your family's not gonna have to pay taxes. Not a bad deal at all. Mm-hmm. And so, and then, you know, he said, okay, well, and he said, and I love what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? And David knew his God. He knew the covenant that he had with God. And he knew that this Philistine, this 9 foot, 3 inch Philistine, didn't have a covenant with Almighty God, but David did. And so David said, okay, who is the... It doesn't matter who this guy is. It doesn't matter how big he is. He doesn't have a covenant with God. I do. I'm going to kill him. And then, of course, his Eliab, his oldest brother, who obviously liked to put God in boxes, mm-hmm. you know, made fun of him. And then David, you know, David said, what have I done now? So you get the idea that Eliab, this wasn't the first time.
Yeah, he picked at him all.
Right. You get the idea this wasn't the first time big brother picked on little brother, because David was the youngest of the eight.
Well, you have to realize, are you the oldest of your family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you know, you get made the example of all the time, and the baby gets babied all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a point where it's not fun anymore. So you have to pick on the baby.
Right.
Without getting caught, though. Because there's
consequence.
Yes.
Yes, there are. So yeah, David said, "What have I done now?" I just asked a simple question. All I did was ask a question, and look what you're doing to me. But then, you know, David didn't stop though. He went to another person and said, "Okay, what's going to happen?" What's going to happen for the person that kills the giant? He got the same answer. And then, you know, Saul heard about it. And David came up and said to Saul, you know, don't let anybody be afraid. I mean, about verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him, the giant. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Now, mind you, David's just a teenager. Okay, at this point, David's just a teenager. And then, you know, Saul said, but you're not able to go up against this Philistine and fight with him. You're but a youth. And this guy has been a warrior since he was your age. Okay? And David said, don't let that bother you. I'm a sheep herder. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. David said, look, I've already wrestled a lion and a bear. This guy's going to be the same way. This... You know, Goliath is going to be the same thing because he's taunted the armies of the living God. David said, don't worry about it. I have faith in God. God's already tested me. You know, sometimes we have to fight the lions and bears. You know, right? I know, yeah. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
You knew I had to go there. But sometimes we have to fight them in order to know our own fighting skills. You know, if we never fought a battle, we wouldn't know how to fight, and we wouldn't be ready for bigger battles. And you were going to say something?
Well, I think, you know, he was being prepared for that day, you know, by the things that he went through. And I think in our lives at times, things happen that prepare us for promotion into something else. You know, sometimes you might be doing something, and if you look back 5 years ago, I'd have never dreamed I'd be doing this today. You know, but the Lord has prepared us, you know, all of us, to move forward in the things he has. And that's the same way with David. He was prepared. He knew what he was doing. He had confidence in himself, mm-hmm. because he served the living God.
Right. And he knew.
And he knew.
Yeah, he knew the living God that he served. And I fully agree. I mean, David was a shepherd, as we know, Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how he spent his childhood and youth. He led sheep around. And yet, how much different is that from being a king? God was preparing him as a shepherd to rule as a king. And, it took that training. He had to go up against the bear, the lion, in order to be able to go up against Goliath. Mm-hmm. And, we shouldn't just ignore or belittle the battles that we go through. They are important. Those every battle we fight, every tussle, as I think, who was it? One of those, I'm going to get into a tussle with the devil. Every tussle we have with the evil one, we need to to use that to build our faith, to build our skills, basically, as warriors in Christ. And that's what David had done. And, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul finally said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." And he was probably breathing a sigh of relief, but inside, knowing Saul's character from the whole book of 1 Samuel, knowing Saul's character, he's probably thinking, "Oh, this guy is just going to get torn to shreds. That giant is just going to smash him up." Because Saul, throughout 1 Samuel, you realize Saul didn't really trust in the Lord. He was pretty weak. He had a thing for following the people, listening to what the people said, he was quite the waffler, to use a modern term. So David, they tried to clothe David in adult soldier gear, in verse 38. "Then Saul clothed David with his garments and got a bronze helmet and put it on his head and clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I can't go with these. I've not tested them.'" As we put on the armor of God, we have to test it. It has to be tested. We have to get used to it. Thinking. All right, Nan, what are you thinking?
I didn't even look at her this time.
I know you looked at me.
Just a second.
About the armor of God, Connie gives me much encouragement regarding putting on the spiritual armor of God. Every day, every morning when you get up, to be ready to face whatever would come your way that day. Mm-hmm. So that's what that was about.
Right. And that's very good, Connie.
Very good, Nan.
Very
good,
Nan. Thank you, Connie.
Well, I think it's interesting. David tried this armor on, and it didn't fit. If I was to try and pick up, say, Kenneth Copeland's shield of faith, I might have a real hard time with it. I have to pick up my shield of faith. Our armor has to be what fits us, what suits us. And David's saying, "Look, Saul, your armor isn't doing it." So what he did, he took it off, took his stick in his hand, got his five smooth stones, and he went out to face the giant. That had to be, I can just imagine, his brothers probably just either feeling really bad that they're about to lose a brother, so they thought, or hating him all the more, being all the more angry with him.
Or maybe they were thinking that, he'd already been anointed as king, so if anything happens to him, maybe it'll fall back to one of them.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if something happens to him, maybe one
David,
of us...
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, one of us will get to be king. How about that? And in verse 41, the Philistine came out and approached David with the shield and bear in front of him. And the Philistine looked at David and New American Standard says disdained him, made fun of him, just basically wrote him off. Dissed him is what Goliath did, for he was but a youth. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" Okay. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And I love David. In verse 43, David said to the Philistine, "You come at me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, Okay, you're coming at me with these three weapons. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by the spear, or for the battle is the Lord's, by the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There's so much in these verses. Oof, there's just so much right here. You know, David said, you know, you're coming at me with all this armor. I'm just using the name of the Lord. Okay? But, you know, that's a really powerful weapon. The name of the Lord Jesus is one of the most powerful weapons we have because, you know, Philippians chapter 2 says it's the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in on earth, in heaven, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name. And, you know, the whole host of Satan's armies just tremble at that name because of the authority behind it. I can just imagine. You know, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday not too long ago, and that was the seal of our victory. You know, Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and in between then, he went down and preached to the souls under the earth, you know, preached to them, and when he came back up, he brought all the righteous up out of Sheol with him. They went on to heaven. He joined back up with his body. But he also snatched the keys from Satan. You know, in Revelation, he tells John, I have the keys of Hades and death. I've got these keys. I took them away from the devil. You know, that's why he said, you know, even the gates of hell won't stand against the church. Because he took the keys away. The door's unlocked. All we got to do is knock it down with praise. And as, you know... And that's why he gave us his name. That's one of the most important weapons we have is the name of Jesus. And that's what David was saying here. You know, you're going to come at me with all these physical armaments. And in the name, you know, in the name of the Lord, I'm going to strike you down. And how that must have sounded to Goliath. Like, excuse me? You are going to battle me? I mean, think. Goliath's 9 foot, probably 9 foot 3 inches tall. David, maybe 5'10", maybe. You know, so Goliath was almost one, you know, David and another half a David, if not close to two Davids tall. That had to be pretty intimidating. And I know in our own lives, our Goliaths can be really, really intimidating. You know, we've all had them. And yet, we just need to remember, it's not on our own strength, not in our own armor, not in the armor of the flesh, which is kind of what Saul was having him do, but in the name of the Lord. David said, I am going to strike you down. And David, you know, he went on to say, not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to cut your head off. And I'm going to give the bodies of the armies of the Philistines to the animals and the birds, so that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David wasn't doing this just for his glory. He was doing this for the honor of God, for God's glory. So that the earth would know that there is a God in Israel. But then I think what's really important is this next line, that this assembly would know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. This assembly, he was talking about the Israelites. he was talking about the Israelites there. So the, my fellow Israelites will know how powerful the Lord is, because like all of us, we need those reminders every so often. I mean, historically, this happened just after the period of the judges. And you know that just monotonous cycle. God delivered the Israelites. They sinned. They cried for, then God abandoned them. They cried for help. God raised up a judge. God delivered them. And that cycle just repeated for about, 350 years, that cycle repeated itself. And Israel needed those constant reminders about how powerful God was. And I think we do, too.
I think, you know, first of all, he spoke to the giant in his life. And we need to speak to the giants in our life. Mm-hmm. And we need to speak to them and with the power of God. You know, the blood of the Lamb word testimony. And it's, and the assembly, it encourages. I get encouraged, you know, when I hear someone who have been suffering from depression, maybe, and they said, you know, I'm really doing a lot better now. I've worked, you know, and it's that God has moved on the scene, and because of their willingness, they're seeking God, them speaking out to that they, you know, they had a victory, a battle. I mean, that is, I just get all excited, you know, on Wednesday night. Sometimes we have praise reports, you know, whoever wants to give a praise report. And, you know, those praise reports are just so encouraging and uplifting, I know, to me, and mm-hmm. I know to everyone who's there, you know, to hear how God moved in a situation that maybe they had been requesting prayer about for several weeks. And then all of a sudden, we got a praise report out of it. And that's pretty cool.
I got a praise report.
Share it. Share
well, you know, we got,
yes,
we got our mint green Ford Focus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an answer to prayer. I mean, mm-hmm. and God came through with that in perfect timing, because this week, Ray actually had extra hours that he had to work, and one car was just not mm-hmm. going to cut it at all. So it just all sort of fell into place, and praise God, we got us another car.
Fantastic.
Oh, timing. Praise God. God's timing is perfect. You know, we're kind of sweating because I tend to be the one who look ahead at the calendar thinking, okay, how are we going to work this? Because this has got to happen, mm-hmm. and I got to do this, and I got to come pick Ray up, then he's got to drop me off at church, then he's got to go to work, and somebody's going to have to take me home. And it was enough to make my head spin. But then, you know, God says, okay, I got it under control here. You know, I'm so glad he sees the future for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so glad he's already been there.
And you, I mean, that's been a prayer request that you shared numerous weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that was every week, you know, because that was a need. You brought it up. It was prayed about, you know. I mean, and like Connie said, in God's timing, you know.
Yeah.
He answered that prayer that had been going up.
Right. And one thing that you said, Nana, I just wanted to touch back on is David knew, you know, and you talk about us, you know, we have to know God. And, you know, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 11, when he has this great vision of the future, and he says at that time, at the time of the end, those who know their God will rise up, and one version says, do great exploits for God. I love that. But it's those who know their God, and not just up here, because
mm-hmm.
you can know all about God. You can know every doctrine, been there, done that. You can know every doctrine about God. You can know every script. You can, in one sense, you can even know scripture about God.
Mm-hmm.
But to know God, to really know God in your heart, is something completely different. And that's how well David knew God. I mean, as I've been reading through the Psalms again, what an incredible relationship David had with God to write those Psalms.
Mm.
I mean, you know, kind of depending on the version you have, well, they still all come out the same, though. I mean, David spoke his joys to God. But then he also spoke his anger to God. Mm-hmm. He spoke his despair to God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, I can't do that. I have to be happy. The Bible says I have to be happy all the time. No, it says you need the joy of the Lord all the time. Doesn't tell you to be happy all the time, because things are going to happen that upset us. And we have to remember that, you know, God is in control, and he wants us to pour out our hearts to him. And sometimes he's the only one we've got that we can really pour our hearts mm-hmm. out to. You know, I think of David. He had several wives, many advisors, but I honestly doubt that he poured out his heart to them mm-hmm. like he did to God in the Psalms. And that's really struck me this time as I'm reading through them. Just David's honesty before God, because that's an area I have trouble with. I don't want to expose my innermost thoughts to God, which is really kind of stupid.
Because he already knows.
Exactly. Yeah. Read Psalm 139. He already knows. I love the way the King James says, my down sitting and my uprising, before I have a thought on my tongue, he knows it already. You know, so it's not like I'm hiding anything.
David's kind of the ultimate poster child of worship, praise and worship, and having a relationship with God, because he was out there in the pastures with his flock, just with God. I mean, there was no other human being to talk to. I'm sure he talked to the sheep, but he had time to talk to God and journal.
Yes, and journal.
And he journaled in the form of the Psalms.
Exactly.
So it was, you know.
Amazing.
Sometimes we all need to go to the pastures for a while.
Mm-hmm. And just sit with the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the amazing thing is, it's the same God from David and for us. It's the same God, which, oddly enough, is the title of our next song from New Song, The Same God.
Back to the wall, scared you fall, what you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why, it's like the world against you.
God. Amazing. And again, I just have to thank the Lord for Connie, who listens to the Lord quite well and brings us, just chooses the music. I mean, it just fits so wonderfully. I mean, every week, it's just an amazing thing.
Shocks
and I,
me.
Amen, amen. It just great.
Amazes me.
Well, yes, that's a real mighty ministry to, you know, because the, you know, just the way it flows so well. I mean, that's one of the many ministries she's involved with, but the anointing is on that. So, you know, what you're teaching, that fell perfectly.
And exactly.
It always does. Yeah. Ever since July, when I've been listening to these shows, it does every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a, God's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. And, you know, we were talking about David knowing God and reading through the Psalms. There's just, and so many of them, I love the little superscriptions above them that say when they happened, like when he was fleeing from Absalom, he's praising God. And when this happened, he was hiding from Saul in a cave. When Doeg the Edomite had killed all the priests of Nob, you know, David wrote Psalms about that. And you know, he might argue with God in them or pour out a complaint to God. And yet, they always seem to have that praise. He gets it out of his system, and then he praises God. And sometimes I think, I mean, I know I do sometimes get stuck in that complaining mode. Oh, God, why? Oh, God, why? Oh, God, why? I never get, it's not like a broken record. I never get to the praise part. And yet David did that, and I think that's why he was such a great warrior and a great leader, because he had such a constant presence of God in his life. Even, you know, David did some pretty stupid, sinful things. You know, the two biggest were, of course, his sin with Bathsheba and when he ordered the census. You know, even his commander said, "Are you sure you want to do this? God doesn't want you to do this." And David said, "No, do it." And it caused, you know, that big plague to happen. So, and, you know, the sin with Bathsheba caused the death of that child. And, of course, you know, David, you know, he was confronted. And I really like that story because David was human. You know, he was just out and happened to see her bathing.
Hmm.
And, you know, I had a professor when I took Old Testament class in college. He said what she was doing was her ritual purification after her period, mm-hmm. which in the law happens 14 days after it ends, which means she was right at her
ovulation.
She was, you know, and that's when David saw her. He went in, had sex with her. Well, she was really fertile, mm-hmm. and she got pregnant. And then David, to add in, I mean, here he is. Oh, my gosh, she's pregnant. What am I going to do? Because she was married to another man. Uriah the Hittite. So David, kind of taking a clue from Saul, because Saul tried to do this to David, says, well, let's put Uriah in the middle of the battle so that he'll get killed. And sure enough, that's what happened. And, you know, we all sometimes sin and we pray that it never gets found out, because what are people going to think of me then, you know, if they know I'm human and I sin? And, you know, I'm sure the same thing happened to David, because he had to hide the fact that he'd had sex with Bathsheba by killing her husband. I mean, it sounds like something on ID, mm-hmm. you know, Investigation mm-hmm. Discovery. It's what sounds like one of those Sins and Secrets shows that, you know, mm-hmm. we love to watch so much. And yet, you know, David thought he'd gotten away with it. And I love it when Nathan the prophet comes in and says, okay, here's, I'm going to tell you a little story about this little lamb. And, you know, Nathan tells David the story about how this big landowner took this other peasant man's lamb away from him. And David said, well, that landowner, you know, that man should be killed. And Nathan the prophet looks at him and says, you are that man. And David, this is what this shows David's heart after God. He got confronted with it, and he said, you're right. I have sinned. I've sinned. And then he wrote Psalm 51, which, you know, that's one of my favorites.
I was going to say, that's one of my favorites.
Well, of course.
Well, you know, it's probably one of Pastor's favorites, too.
Probably, yes. Yeah, we'll mark that down as one of hers.
But then he wrote Psalm 32, which is even, because he wrote that after he had sinned. So let's just turn over to that one. Because, you know, Psalm 51 is all about, you know, the repentance part. But then he wrote Psalm 32 right after that. And Psalm 32, verse 1 says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, David went from Psalm 51, which was his prayer of repentance, right into praise. And I think that there's a lesson there for us, too, because I know, at least for me, I have a tendency, if I, you know, large, small sin, it doesn't, half time doesn't matter. I ask for forgiveness, and yet, yeah, I'm still dragging it along behind me, you know. Oh, God can't use me today, I sinned yesterday, that kind of stuff. And yet David turns right around, writes the Psalm of Repentance, turns right around and writes Psalm 32. How blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. In verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time that you may be found. Oh, how wonderful. You know, and I think that shows David's heart after God. Because he said, yeah, I blew it. I really, really messed up. And yet he knew his God well enough. He knew that nature of God well enough to know that, yes, I asked God for forgiveness. It's done. And I can walk. I can just leave it behind. I can just let it go.
That's sometimes easier said than done.
Really?
I know that you didn't know that, Pastor Jim.
Oh, no, I had no idea, Nan.
Sister Connie, did you know that, Sister Connie?
Tell us, Nan.
Let me tell you, Sister Connie. Well, I mean, I can think of something very specific that I did that was wrong, and God told me no, and I proceeded forward. And forgiveness, you know, ask God to forgive me, he forgave me. But I didn't forgive myself for a while because I felt like I had been so stupid. You know, I mean, especially when God's telling you no, and you're just going to push past, you know. And that was something that took some time for me to be able to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. I mean, it's hard.
Sometimes it is, especially when we know we've been willingly disobedient. It's one thing just to do something stupid.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it was kind of rough.
Yeah, well, I mean, willingly disobedient. And we've all done that, where we know.
But. He forgave you when you asked for forgiveness.
Yes, he did.
You didn't forgive yourself, but
that's
he
correct.
Forgave you way back.
Yes.
And that's hard to remember sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know? Because, yeah, you've been forgiven since the cross. We've all been forgiven since the cross. It just, sometimes we have to remember that we've been forgiven since the cross.
Mm.
And that, you know, Jesus went before the Father and the sins are all gone. They've all been taken care of. And the hard part is it's up to us. And, you know, to confess our sins. Because part of it is our human nature. What did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? They ran away. They heard God walking in the garden. They hid themselves. And, you know, that's been human nature since then. We tend to run away. We tend to try and hide from God, which again is kind of stupid. You know, he knows exactly where we're at. It wasn't like when God was going, Adam, where are you? It's not like he didn't know where he was at. He wanted Adam to know that he was looking for him. Mm-hmm. And God still looks for each one of us. He's searching each one of us out to find us, to meet us where we're at, so he can take us where we need to be.
Mm.
You know, that's...
You can't outrun God.
No. You can.
We can try.
During my Jonah days, as we affectionately refer to them as, sitting in counseling with...
We have all those all those little phases, don't you?
Yeah, I have phases. Connie's aware of my phases because she's been involved with counseling with me and her and Pastor. But there was this period that, you know, I was not really wanting to do what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't want to give up certain things. I didn't this or that or the other, whatever it was. And I was like in this running mode. And, you know, he gave me a lot of poetry and stuff. And some that he started giving me was calling me Jonah. And it's like, I'm everywhere. Where do you think you're going? You know, and I finally got it together, you know, with God's help and my willingness to get it together and Connie's and Pastor's encouragement. But, you know, God is everywhere.
Plus the handcuffs work pretty good, too.
Yeah. And yes. But, you know, so it you know, thank God I'm not in Jonah days anymore.
Oh, praise God. We're glad you're not in Jonah days, too.
Connie's really glad.
Connie breathes a long sigh of relief. Yeah, but yeah, it is kind of our nature, like Adam and Eve, like Jonah, like Paul, or Saul, as he was known then. You know, he tried real hard. He thought he might just as well destroy the church. That's how hard he was running from God. And, you know, God sometimes either puts you in the belly of the whale, as he did Jonah, or he knocks you off your horse like he did with Paul. But in each case, he forgives. I mean, look at Adam and Eve. When they sinned and they tried to hide from him, they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. And God took and clothed them with skins. He covered them with a substitutionary animal. Even then, even in the garden, he was showing that whole principle, and he was showing his love with Jonah. You know, Jonah was in there. Jonah repented, and the whale spit him up on the coastline, or the big fish spit him up on the coastline. Paul, you know, Jesus appeared to him, and you know, Paul wasn't stupid. He knew who just appeared to him, and Paul immediately said, "What do you want me to do?" You know, well, instead of fighting it, he said, "What do you want me to do?" And, you know, so he submitted to God. And that's you know, that's what we need to do. And believe me, I've been in a place where God's knocked me off a few horses. And it's not the most comfortable place in the world. You know,
talking about Jonah, one thing I learned reading Jonah, because I read Jonah a lot during that time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because he's calling me Jonah. I wanted to read about it. Did we need to go station break?
2 minutes.
Okay. So Jonah, God, you know, told him to go to Nineveh and preach, and he said no. So that's how he wound up in the belly of the whale, because he said no. And the Bible says, I don't want to turn to, we don't have time. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to him again, and he said good. And it says that he went exceedingly gladly. He was exceedingly glad to be able to go to where he didn't want to go the first time, but then he got himself into a mess, and so God had a way of getting his attention.
Exactly. Well, how much time would you want to spend in the belly of a whale?
Exactly.
So, you know.
Ask me.
Obviously, it was a long time for me. More than 3 days, let me tell you.
Well, we all have our Jonah days.
Yes.
Thank goodness they're over with, though.
They are over with. Hey, praise God.
Praise God. So, I mean, it's, yeah, God is a wonderful God. And David, I'm so thankful for David, because what an incredible example in all ways to us. I mean, as a man of God, and yet a man, a human, you know, here's somebody who's really human. And that's a comfort, because, you know, he's not some super saint. He's not some person that we could never identify with. Yeah, he was a man of God, but he was as faulty as any of us. You know, and that's in an odd way kind of a comfort. So, I really appreciate that from David. So, okay, I think we will go to station identification. We'll be
WTAN,
right back.
Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Welcome back. This is Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor. Filling in for Pastor Marcia today, who is moving, as we said before. I am joined by Connie Farmer and Nanette Watson. And it's always a pleasure to be here. And I just want to mention one of the ministries that we do have is a prayer ministry. And that is a ministry where you send in your prayer requests. We do send them out, and we have a team across the country, actually, who prays for them. We have seen miraculous results. We have gotten prayer requests from as far away as Australia, and we've got praise reports, actually, from as far away as Australia. So the address is prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at beaconofhopeministries.com. And you just send your prayer request in. It'll be forwarded to the team. We always write up a little prayer to go with it, so everybody kind of has a pattern for that. And then we send it out to our prayer team, and it gets prayed for, and we see answers, and wonderful answers. So, and it's a great thing. And if you want to be on the prayer team, you can use that same email address, and just ask to be put on the prayer team. We'll add you to the lists. Also, if you ever want to talk with Pastor Marcia, that's pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to ever leave me an email, that's pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. And I love to get emails. Not so big on other social media, but I do answer emails. So
I can attest to that. I sent you emails about scripture, and you always answered me back. So I would encourage people to do that if they have any questions about the Bible. You know, certain specific scriptures, you provide insight into those.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I'm usually better about answering emails than I am about answering the phone, just so you know.
I can attest to that, too.
Amen, don't even think of texting him.
No, because. we don't even have texting on the phone. So. Okay, well, amen.
We can reach you. That's what matters.
That's right. Yeah, because I'm always, when I'm home, I'm checking my emails about every hour or so. So, well, we want to go to our next song, God is Still God. He's the God of David. He's God of Adam and Eve, the God of David. He is the God of Paul the Apostle, and he's our God, and he is still God, by Heather Williams. Praise God. Another right on target song from Connie.
Mm-mm.
But yeah,
it's
God is still God. We, you know,
it's not from me.
I know, from the Lord, from the Lord.
Well, you're the hands. And the,
okay.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
It.
There we go.
It's amazing. You know, I, the lyrics of this song are, they're almost like a psalm. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have those hurts. We all have the sorrows, but God is still God. And that's
and
what
he holds
David,
it together.
Yeah, he holds it together. And so in the Psalms, that's kind of basically what David was saying. You know, here's this happening, that happening. And yet God is still God. You know, I think of, Psalm 3. I'll just turn over to that psalm. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. You know, Absalom led an insurrection against David. He rebelled against David. Absalom was going to be king if he had to, even if he had to kill his father to do it. And so David says, Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Okay, so David's pouring out his complaint here, but he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, mm-hmm. and the one who lifts up my head. Mm-hmm. I was crying to the Lord with my voice. He answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I woke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Oh, that is so good. You know, he says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies on the cheek. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. David starts out. I mean, here he is. He's being chased by Absalom. You know, like civil war has broken out in Israel. He's being chased by Absalom. And yet he sits down and writes a song. And, you know, and that's, of course, that's a song. There's all sorts of different versions of those first few verses of this, you know, that people have sung through the years. And, you know, he says, Lord, my adversaries, how are they increased? My enemies are all around me. But you, Lord, you're my glory and the lifter of my head. Again, that shows his heart after God. He didn't deny that there was a bad situation. You know, and God never tells us in the Word to deny that we're in trouble, like it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things do happen. We do get sick. We get into accidents. Things go wrong in our lives. And, you know, God doesn't tell us just to pretend that they didn't happen. He says, yeah, but bring them to my attention, mm-hmm. which is what David did. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my heart, and he heard me out of his holy hill.
Can I say something?
You go ahead.
That reminds me, I've made reference before to having a challenging divorce, which I had. And in that, there was a lot of just threats. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take our son. And it was during that period I grew, because I can remember, it's just so precious. I can remember spending time with God every morning at my recliner, knelt before my recliner, opening my Bible, and him leading me to something that I needed that day. And that strengthened me for the next onslaught of stuff that happened, with false allegations against me, a battery didn't really happen. I won in that. But that second time was different than the first time. Because the second time, because I'd had the first time stuff and learned from it, the second time, I don't want to say it was a piece of cake, but it was a piece of cake. I wasn't worried, didn't have fear, didn't worry about it, pressed on, praised God, had people praising God with me, what was going to happen, and God moved in a mighty way in that situation. But that one thing prepared me for the next thing.
What do you think the difference was? It was your faith.
That's true.
And faith is the opposite of fear.
That's very good. You're right.
So you humbled yourself to God, spent time with him, and your faith rose, and so you were able to deal with. If you would have not done what you did, you would have been in the same shape as you were with the first battle.
That's
because
true.
You were trying to battle without your armor, and you were trying to battle without really trusting God. But see, you're a testament to what faith does.
Mm. That's true. Thank you.
and a living example of what we talked about earlier with David.
Mm-hmm.
You fought the lion so you could fight the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've been fighting Goliath now, so.
Yep.
You know? I mean.
But it's so fantastic.
I can't get excited. Uh-oh. Can I see your slingshot?
My slingshot left in the car. It is absolutely so fantastic to come through those mm-hmm. trials. And you know that God is the one who saw you through. You know, when things seemed impossible, and in the second round, some of that seemed impossible. I had people coming to me going, I can't believe this is happening to you. It's okay. My God's in control. And I used it literally everywhere I could go. Of anybody who said anything to me, my statement was, my God is in control. And it's like, and I said, okay, Satan, I spoke to Satan. You don't normally do it. I said, let me tell you something. Everywhere I go, in every phase of this situation, of everything that I have to do, I am going to tell everybody about God. And I did. And thank goodness that trial. I ministered to all kinds of people places because my God was going to take care of it. I knew that. I read the word. I know what the word said about it. It was false against me. And God moved in it. And so I just, it's exciting to think of all the lives you can touch. Ooh, it's exciting to think of all the lives you can touch.
Go Nan.
And got the Holy Ghost.
Got the Holy Ghost going there. No, about all the lives you could touch when something is going wrong, but yet you're continuing to move forward and go, I know that it's going to be okay because my God's in control. I know that I'm going to be okay because my God's in control. And then to get on the other side of that, now you've gained footing like with the lion. So now you're able to take the bear that will come at some other time.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think happened to the faith of those people that watched you go through it?
I'm sure that it increased. I'm sure that it increased. One lady in particular I think of, she was like, when we got through talking, she said, I am so glad that I have met you. I needed to hear that today. What you said to me, I needed to hear that day right then. You know, and so it's just pretty cool the way that it works out.
Trust and believe.
Trust and believe. There's no other way but to trust and believe.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that trusting part may not be so bad, but it's that obedience part that sometimes can be a pain.
That is tough, know. Pastor Jim.
Yeah. That's not what I want to do.
I know. Yeah, and well, some people have the wrong idea about obedience, too. If I'm obedient to God, he's going to send me to Africa to live in a mud hut.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Or in Swahili or something.
Well, you know, he sent me down here to live in a mobile, so. I, you know, quite honestly, you know, it was trusting. Because I, in kind of getting back to what we talked about earlier, putting God in a box. I didn't want to leave Chicago. Ray wanted to leave Chicago. I didn't. Because I think I had an inkling. I think I had an idea. You know, God had not taken away the call to pastor, you know. And I hadn't really been active in a church for a long time. And yet, you know, decided to come down here. And, you know, I knew I needed to get back into a church. So I found Beacon of Hope and several things. It's like, oh, God. Talk about getting out of my box, sitting under a female pastor. I don't think this is going to happen. Yeah, guess what? God brought me out of that box real quick and just, you know, meeting Pastor Marcia and God reopening up something that I knew he wanted me to do. And yet I was resistant because I didn't feel I was, because of the failure the first time, I didn't think it was ever going to happen again. So God is in. You know, God's in control, and he just wants us to keep walking with him because that way, you know, there's an adventure every day. I mean, there is an adventure with God every day. Never a dull moment. And sometimes it's great where we get to minister to people and you know, share things. And sometimes it's going through those valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. David talked about in Psalm 23. Sometimes we go through the darkest valley. I think that's how the New International puts it. We go through the darkest valley. And yet, even there, God's still with us to get us to the other side, mm-hmm. to get us out of the valley, back up on the hillside. And we go through those experiences, and we can either let them teach us something, which usually means we won't have to go through that same valley again, mm-hmm. or if we don't let them teach us, we're just going to have a little slide back down into that yep. valley. You know, we've all kind of been there before, I'm sure. But it's just, you know, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes just, excuse me, hard, you know, in our humanness to trust God. And since we've been reading the Psalms and Pastor's been teaching on David, I've been kind of going through 1 Samuel and going to be about ready to go through 2 Samuel, just looking at David's life, trying to learn what I can from David's life, from David's examples, from the Psalms. And like I said, I've gotten so many new rhema from them.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that, the whole heart after God, you know, I pray, God, you know, help me seek you for everything, you know, and just let me be like David. I want to be like David. I really do. Honest. I really do. But, you know, inevitably I get off track, and I really honestly think I need to go to a pasture, you know, and just shut off the phone, shut off the everything, all the outside, go somewhere and just be with God.
I wonder, that's such a good point. We have so many distractions nowadays. Mm. Maybe it was easier for David, but then again, you know, we can shut off, you know, our cell phones, our TV, and be alone with God. And that's sometimes hard to do because the world always wants to encroach on that. And of course, the devil wants to keep us from getting mm-hmm, close to God. So he'll make the phone ring. Somebody will text you. You'll hear a show
on crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something.
Something will happen. But you know what? It is like David. You're absolutely right, Connie. Sometimes we have to get into the pasture, just to be there with the sheep, just us and God in our journal, and you know, just writing down what's God saying to me in the Word, or what are you saying in my heart, Lord, because He wants to talk to us, because we can't become men and women after God's own heart unless we know God, and knowing implies communicating. You know, yeah. Talking, having a relationship with somebody means you got to talk to them. If you don't talk to your partner or your spouse, what sort of relationship is that going to be? You know, you might as well just be roommates, you know, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
But you have to have that relationship. You have to have that communication. And, you know, part of that is, and I've asked Lord, I pray that prayer in Ephesians a lot about that I could know the love that's beyond knowledge. I really, really just want a continued growing revelation of the love of God, because I really see that as foundational. You know, David had a real love for the Lord, and even though he would blow it, it was that same love. Like the way I segued into that.
Oh, yeah.
Our next song, The Same Love by Paul Baloche.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. The same love that set the captives free. aside and speak the words, you are mine. You call the cynic and the proud, come to me now. The same love that set the captives free, the same love that opened eyes to see, is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Oh, the same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified, is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name.
Praise God. Great, great song. And it kind of sums up everything we said up to now. I mean, God's calling us, and God loves us. And I think for all our listeners out there, maybe you've heard us talking, and you're thinking maybe you want to get to know this God. And it's incredibly easy to know God, because he's provided the way through his son, Jesus. You know, all of us have been separated from God just from the things that we've done. But God in Jesus brought us all back. You know, he brings us all back. All we have to do is ask him. And God, you know, God loves us enough that he let himself be crucified. And like it was in that song we just heard. That's the God that David sang about. That's the God that David prophesied about in a lot of places.
You know what? When I was listening to that song, it just amazes me. As I listen to that song again, and you hear those words, and you think about what you've been taught and what you've come to know and believe, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, those aren't just words. Think about this. The same God, the same love, to me, we use God and love interchangeably because he is just love, you know. But he's the same God that set the captives free. He opened blinded eyes to see. He was crucified. And it wasn't like some people think this book here is just a book of stories to teach us how to live by. You know, that these people never existed, really, and that, you know, somebody just wrote this fiction book here. And
don't get me started.
I know. But you know, I mean, that God in this book, Jesus, is the God that lives in me,
mm-hmm.
and lives in all of us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just think, wow! You know, it just hits you. It's what you know, but it's nice to just get into the know again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's like a duh. What are you doing?
To think that the creator of the universe lives inside of us, Mm-hmm. You know, that's more than our human mind can fathom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he does. Incredible. The one who created me lives inside of me.
Hmm.
And that's incredible. The one who created me and knows me inside and out better than any human ever will loves me.
And we have the superpower. You know, we have the authority to take to do whatever we need to do from God. We in the name of Jesus, we can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, walking across the street and there's cars, you know, stupid stuff like that.
We're not talking faith, not presumption.
Right. We're not going to test it like that to that, you know, I guess I'm not making my sense, but.
When God calls us to a battle, he's already given us everything we need to win that battle. He's given us the name, the blood, the word, the armor, everything we
need.
And the authority to use it all. Because we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, makes perfect sense. I mean, I read somewhere, you don't go out looking for battles.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it looks like you're headed toward one, you pray for wisdom. Is this a battle you want me to be involved in, Lord? Because not every time the devil confronts us and tries to get us into a battle, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to. If it's not our battle to fight, then we shouldn't do it because we're just going to get ourselves into trouble. David knew this was his battle to fight
mm-hmm.
with Goliath. But sometimes, you know, just because I don't want this to sound bizarre, but just because we see a demon doesn't mean we have to cast it out. It may not be our time to do that, or we mm-hmm. may not be the one who's supposed to do that. You know, I mean, thinking back to the 70s, people were casting out demons right and left, and I think a lot of the times it was the flesh that needed to be mm-hmm. corralled and contained, not a demon. And, you know, but we have to be sensitive to God's leading, because not every time we see a need, it may not be our need in him to meet. It may be somebody else's. Mm-hmm. I may see somebody in need, and codependent that I am, I'm going to want to reach out and help. But it may not, this may be a person that's going to respond to Connie or to Nan, not to me.
Or maybe it's for within themselves to do it themselves.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we have to, we have to pray for that wisdom. But again, it's faith, not presumption. But the amazing mm-hmm. thing is, when we're called to do that ministry, because the God of the universe lives within us, Jesus, the risen Lord, lives inside of us, we have everything we need and all the authority we need to go out and do what we have been called to do.
So that's where our communication with God keeps us in check. So we know, you know, if we check in with him, give him a call and say, you know, Is this the one I'm supposed to do or not?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have that ongoing relationship with him so that we can know and choose our battles.
Well, it popped in my head about Paul. I think it was either the second or third missionary journey. He wanted to go to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't. He wanted to go to this other place. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't. So here he is stuck on the seashore. And that night is when he had a vision of the man from Greece, the man from Macedonia, saying, come over and help us. Now, if Paul had gone into Bithynia, I have no doubt he would have won souls for Christ. That was his calling. He would have done it. But it wasn't where God wanted him to be at that time. God wanted him in Macedonia and Greece. And look what happened. He went there. Preached in Philippi. That's when that whole jail thing happened, where they got released and the jailer and his whole family got saved. You know, the ministry in Thessalonica and all those other cities there in Greece. Paul got, you know, the Corinthian church, which was, you know, we got two great letters out of that one. But Paul, that's where God wanted Paul. And so he had to turn away from maybe what he wanted, or what logically, maybe he didn't think it was the time to go across into Greece. And, you know, he was quite content to stay in Asia Minor, but God said, no, this is where I want you to go.
I'm thinking there's been times that I have felt like I was supposed to go talk with somebody about the Lord. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying yes. So, you know, you go. And then there was times that, on some other people I can think of, at times that I wanted to, a friend that I wanted to go talk to, and he said, no. I said, but God, she's a friend of mine, and I can talk to her, and
but God.
She can listen. And he said, no, not you, not now, not this time. And I did say, yes, Lord, and didn't do that, you know. But the thing is, sometimes we can push past what him saying no and do it, and we may cause detriment of the person we're trying to minister to under the name of God. When God said no, you cause detriment that maybe put it in further back. It's going to take, you know.
Some repair action.
Yeah, thank mm-hmm. you.
Then you got to get damage control going.
Right,
damage
exactly.
control going. And if you just listen to God, you wouldn't get in that situation.
Well, and again, it goes back to what Connie said about the communication, our relationship with God. Having a heart after God means we're listening to his heart. We're listening to what he wants, too, and then doing it, of course. But yeah, I mean, you know, if I'd love to just chatter about Jesus all day long, but I got to have a job, too, mm-hmm. you know, so. And I'd like to talk to every person I meet, but we can't, because you're right. I may not be the one they're going to listen to.
Right.
And we have to be sensitive to that, because, yeah, there's certain people that I can communicate with very well. There's other people that I might as well be talking to a rock, and it's not their fault. It's just, I'm not saying what they're going to be able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you might be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, you just got to push me out of the way and start talking. But, you know, but again, it goes back to hearing from God, having that listening ear, and just submitting everything to God.
And submitting to the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. because he'll always be your conscience.
Right.
And your guide.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's... Paul wrote, you know, if we say we're going to walk by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit in Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5. And that means, I looked up that Greek word, and it means to march, like a soldier, mm-hmm. in an orderly march. And so we're not just kind of going willy-nilly where we want to go. We're following the Holy Spirit. We're, you know, in our march behind the Holy Spirit, which is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. It's wonderful, because God has a ministry for each one of us. And you know, on a broader sense, I can't take over Connie's ministry. I wouldn't want to. I mean, you know, it's not my ministry.
Right.
You know? I don't think I'd want you. I mean, you know, it's not that I wouldn't want it. I'd like to do everything. But, you know, we each have our own separate ministries. Because,
I can do Nan's.
No.
By any stretch.
It's really, I mean, it's hard, because we're trying to fit into a part of the body that's not ours to fit into.
You know, when we do that, it takes away from what the Lord is wanting to us. If we start trying to stretch ourselves, and it's us stretching ourselves to do this ministry, and, you know, and if it's God stretching us, that's okay. He's moving us out of the box that we talked about earlier in the show. But if we're doing it, it's going to take away from, possibly, the time that we would spend doing the ministry we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
You know, so don't fall back and try to do what you're not supposed to do. You know, pray about it, but the Lord's going to say, I have you over here. I want you to do this and this, and this is where I want you, and mm-hmm. I have you where I want you. Minister in there. There's times he moves us into other ministries, but he's doing the moving in the ministries, mm-hmm. not us.
Right. And sometimes I think we try and do too many ministries. I know it used to be, in most churches, especially denominational churches, the pastor or the preacher, whoever, is doing everything. And if that's, I mean, you know, we know that's impossible. Mm-hmm. That's why pastors and preachers burn out so much. Mm-hmm. Because God has set up all those different gifts, you know, different ministries in the church. And as we're obedient, doing, fulfilling those ministries, then it, you know, kind of like the apostles in Acts chapter 6, when they created the deacons. Because they said, you know what, we got to minister the word. That's our ministry. We can't spend our time waiting tables. Mm-hmm. So that's when they gave that job to the seven. Mm. And, you know, there was that ministry for them. So the apostles could complete, could fulfill their ministry. The seven could fulfill their ministry. And more ministries, you know, grew out after that, of course.
Well, and how beautiful when that all fits together so wonderfully when everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we can see that very evident at Beacon. You know, people are in positions, and they're doing, fulfilling their responsibilities. And it comes together and unified. They're unified, right. You know.
And you know what's interesting is that when somebody can't be in their position, and the rest of us try to fill it in, we don't do a good job.
Right. Because it's not,
I mean,
our...
we do the best we can. Right. I'm not saying we don't try to do the best, but we don't do it to the degree that that person does it.
Right. Right.
That's good. And it makes you feel like, you know...
I miss them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They need to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think, you know, God's stretching me, making me more of a preacher, but my heart is still a teacher. You know, I can teach for hours on end, you know.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, I know. You've seen that happen.
But I must say, again, this morning, there was a little bit more preacher coming out.
There was a little more preacher coming out. And yeah. God's stretching me in that area. So mm-hmm.
Your ankles were deep.
Yes, they were. I'm about to go knee deep. Mm-hmm. So, but I just want to, you know, praise God. And our next song is Listen to Our Hearts, which is a favorite at Beacon. And, you know, sometimes we do run out of words to say to God. We don't know what to say. And, you know, with this song, is just asking God to listen to our hearts. And I just want to encourage people, let God listen. You know, ask God to listen to your heart, because he already knows what's in there. And he wants to minister life to you today. And I just pray that maybe through this song, amen, through what we've said, God will minister his life to you,
amen,
today.
Amen.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirit sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth.
thank you for the way. And listen to our heart.
Oh Lord, please listen.
Hear our spirit sing.
And hear us sing.
A song of praise that flows.
A song of praise.
From those you have redeemed. Tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts.
Oof. Love that song. What a wonderful, wonderful song. And that's kind of that's the cry of our hearts, you know. Lord, listen to our hearts. Listen to our hearts, because sometimes we run out of words. We get tongue-tied, like Nan. And we get stuck, and we can't really tell the Lord what he means to us. And, you know, listen, Lord, listen to our hearts. And I'm just so thankful for his love and his mercy. You know, I'm thankful that almost 40 years ago, I stopped running, and he found me right where I was at. And not always been a smooth ride, but it's been a great one. Mm-hmm. You know, I can look back and think, God, it's still as fresh today as he was that October day in 1973 when I asked him into my heart. You know, God is new. His mercy, the scripture says, mercies are new every morning.
Praise God.
Great is his faithfulness. So it doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done. God's mercy is there for us now. And, you know, that mercy includes not just salvation, but it includes healing and freedom from oppression and, you know, prosperity. God wants us to be at peace, and the word peace just means to prosper. God wants us to be his children. So if there's anybody listening out there who has a need, I would encourage you, send it into to the prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. But I just want to pray for everybody now who might be listening. You know, no matter what your need is, God will meet that need. No matter how large it is, because, you know, he is in the miracle business and can't have a miracle without an impossibility.
And God's still God.
God is still God, you know. And also no matter how small it is, because sometimes I think we think our needs are just too insignificant for God. And nothing's too small. Nothing is too small for God. Nothing is too big for God. He's at both ends of that spectrum. So why don't we just go to God in prayer? And I would encourage our listeners to pray as we pray, and just ask God to meet whatever your need is. Whatever area of your life needs to come under his lordship, whatever part of your heart needs changed, God's out there. God's right there. He's going to do it. He's going to meet you where you're at. He's looking for you just like he was looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. He's running after, you know, he's seeking you out like he sought after Paul. You know, he's still calling you like he called Jonah.
Amen.
And he's not going to stop calling.
That's right.
You know, he'll keep calling you until you say yes. Yeah, amen, amen. Well, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We rejoice. We give you thanks and praise that you love us, that you, the creator of the universe, as the psalmist wrote, you created us, and you know us even better than we know ourselves. And, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, for those who are listening, Father, that you would minister to their needs, that you would bring forth salvation, Father. Put people in the lives of our listeners who may not know you yet. Father, just put people in their lives who will preach the gospel, who will talk about the gospel in a way that our listeners will respond. Father, we just pray that you would take any blinders off their eyes in Jesus' name. And Father, for those who are saved, who are looking for something more, something a little deeper, Father, I just pray that you would open them up to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would just pour out your Spirit upon our listeners. Father, wherever there's a physical need, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to whatever those physical needs are, whatever the brokenness is, in the name of Jesus, we speak wholeness to it. Father, where there's lack, we know that you are the God who leads us into those green pastures. You're the God who leads us beside the quiet waters. You lead us in your righteousness, and we give you thanks and praise that you are our loving shepherd. You are our Savior. You are our God. Father, whatever needs there are, oh, Father, in Jesus' name, let those needs be met. Father, we rejoice because we know that you love us, you care for us, and you want the very best for each one of us. And we give you thanks and praise, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, I'm getting to be like one of our other regular comers when I pray now, too. So,
all right.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Connie?
Well, when we were listening to Listen to Our Hearts, one thing that really came to mind was almost like the cry that David had, and the kind of person David was. You know, he was a human being just as we are. And the things that he did, even though his heart was after God, searching for God, and he had the heart of God, you know, he still was human and things happened. And so when I listened to that song, the reason why it's so powerful to me is that I'm thinking, you know, no matter what I do on a day-to-day basis, please listen to my heart, because my heart is after you. Mm-hmm. But my body, my mind, my mouth is not always what it should be.
Right.
You know?
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. And amen. What more can I say? Amen. Nan, final thoughts.
Well, I wrote down, talking about the beginning when we were talking about the box, I wrote down that when God stretches you out of the box, be thankful and move forward. And even though it may feel uncomfortable, he's just increasing things within your life. And, you know, that's pretty cool. And the other thing I had jotted down was God will equip you for any battle. So if something is coming their way, God will equip you.
Mm-hmm.
He just will equip you, you know. So that's about all I have.
That's good. That's a lot right there.
Oh, okay. Oh, I did want to say something about stretching. 2 years ago, if you'd have told me I'd have been attending a church and plugged in the way I'm plugged into that church, I would have laughed at you. I'd have said, there's no way, I'm not going to ever trust another pastor again, and I wouldn't be. And I mean, so it's like, what a change in 2 years.
So, did she laugh at you, Connie? Because I know you've been working with Nan for a long, long time.
Yeah, she laughs some. Uh-huh. We give her a lot to laugh about.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. But anyway, just to encourage people to move forward in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it puts them outside the comfort level of their box.
Right.
God is doing a mighty thing in their life. And that's cool.
Right.
And I mean, I'm excited to have been a beacon the last year and a half or 2 years, something.
Is that all?
That's all. Under 2 years.
Really? Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. It feels like longer than you've done it, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I know.
Now that you mention it, it does.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I know for me, it's like it's been going on 4 years.
But wow.
A little bit over 3.5. And it seems like forever in a good sense, because it's like I'm home, you know, mm-hmm. I'm home. This is where I need to be. This is where my ministry's at. This is where I ministered to, because it's a two-way street. I mean, we have our ministries, but it's also the places that we need to be ministered to. And I think, too, David knew that because, I mean, you look in the Psalms, he let God minister to him. He let other people minister to him. Jonathan, Nathan the prophet, you know, David would let other people minister to him. And that's why, you know, we go to church for our ministries, to fulfill our ministries, mm-hmm. but also to be ministered to. Mm-hmm. And that can be kind of scary at times, you know, because mm-hmm. we don't, being ministered to means being vulnerable.
Mm. Yeah, I need more of that. I need more ministry to me.
She needs to be ministered to.
You know, I think so many times that, you know, we're so busy taking care of everybody else. I mean, I do that. You know, I'm a healthcare person, period. You know, so first and foremost, that's my mindset. Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to take care of somebody, whether it's at work or wherever. And, you know, probably the worst people to go to the doctor or seek help are
healthcare professionals. Yeah.
So, but I too, you know, I think some people think that they, you know, we're not supposed to all, you know, have prayer every week or come up for prayer or come up for what you need, you know. And I just have decided in the last few months that, you know, I'm just going to be on the blue line all the time. I don't care.
Yeah, so
I don't
noticed.
Care what anybody thinks.
Well, and that's true mm-hmm. because...
Exactly.
It's between me and God. It's not between me and anybody else.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And, you know, there's that line in, I've been redeemed. You can talk about me just as much as you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. You know, it's between us and God. And I know I go through the same struggles. I first thing, if I think I need to go to the blue line, you know, which is where we have our prayer minister, you know, where we minister to needs on Sunday morning, I think my first thought is always, what are people going to think?
Yeah. So that's our pride, right?
Right. Yeah. And you notice the other day I came running up, you know.
I couldn't even keep up with you to get up there. And it's not like we got a big long aisle either.
I know, but it's like, I got to get up there for mm-hmm. ministry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, praise God, because that's, again, that's the God we serve. He wants to minister to our needs. He wants to meet our needs. And, you know, that's the kind of loving God we serve, mm-hmm. who wants to meet us where we're at. And sure, there are times when he's going to have to straighten us out a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, guide and direct us, kind of use the word to squeeze us a little bit. But he does that in love. It's not like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. we think, oh, discipline of the Lord. We think of how our parents may have disciplined us. And that's not how it is at all. God's discipline is purely done in love. And because he is a loving God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he does it so we can share in his holiness. The scripture says that's why it happens, so we can share in his holiness. What a wonderful thing that God loves us enough to do that for us, you know, to minister his life to us, to keep us close to himself. And, you know, we've talked a lot today about, you know, being after God's heart and having God's heart. Well, praise God for, you know, that God has called us to have that heart for him. To follow after him, because that's what he's called us to do. And praise God, he gave David as an example. You know, I just, mm-hmm. I'm really glad about that he gave David as an example. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we see in David everything we are, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And yet we see in David somebody who knew God, walked with God, triumphed with God.
Killed a giant,
for heaven's sakes. Killed somebody at least 1.5 times his size, mm-hmm. if not nearly twice his size. Mm-hmm. So, you know, praise God for that. And just you know, praise God for David giving us our songbook, you know, for David giving us the Psalms, you know, so that we can read them and really understand the heart of God, because I believe so much of God's heart is revealed in the Psalms. You know, so much of what mm-hmm. God wants us to know about Him and His heart and His dealings with us is revealed in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage our listeners, read through, well, 1st and 2nd Samuel, but also through the Psalms, because it's in those that God used David and the other psalmists to really show God's nature, God's mm-hmm. love, what God was all about, you know?
And they can do, as they read through the Psalms, they can do like we are doing right now, picking out those promises that God's giving us through in those Psalms mm-hmm. and what He's actually doing for us or will do for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Has done, is doing, and will do. Yes. Because, again, as Connie mentioned before, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. You know, praise God for that. So, well, it has been an incredible joy to be on the radio today with Connie and Nan. Next week, it will be Pastor Marshall will be back. So hopefully all moved in, all settled in.
Hopefully.
But remember, this is Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. We, again, have our service on Sunday morning at 3700 Olmerton in Clearwater. And 10 o'clock in the morning, praise and worship, a wonderful, wonderful time. We also have, again, our prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesdays. Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. So come, bring your Bible, bring a marker, read the Psalms.
Supper.
Bring supper. Food, yeah, bring your food. So, again, it's been a pleasure. So, everybody, we just pray you have a good week, and we'll see you back here next Sunday.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.